Here in this research, we are evaluating the introduction of the rhizoma peanut into the beef forage production systems in North Florida. Beef cow calf production systems in the southern of the United States are typically pasture-based, where bahia grass is the dominant pasture. The introduction of legumes into grasslands could increase functionality and production of the pastures. Livestock nutrition may be improved when a legume is incorporated in the system. Legumes are rich in protein and increase the digestibility. Nitrogen fertilizer continues to be one of the largest inputs in the beef forage production systems. The introduction of nitrogen can increase the percentage of carbon footprint in the livestock production system. The inclusion of legumes, such as rhizoma peanut, in a grass-based beef forage system can help decrease fertilizer nitrogen inputs and enhance productivity, forage nutritional value, and ecosystem service. Our objectives were to assess vegetation structure, pasture productivity, and functionality of grass legume versus grass monoculture pastures, to quantify animal responses and species preference as evidence by blood and fecal isotopic carbon signature. Our project is conducted at the University of Florida in the North Florida Research and Education Center in Mariana, Florida. Bahia grass pastures and rhizoma pastures were planted in the summer of 2014. We evaluated a first period in 2015 and a second period in this year, this summer of 2016. During the first year, we let the pasture to establish, so we start our period sampling is short between July and October, and this year the season was between May and October. We considered three treatments for the warm season. That is the fertilized bahia grass, that we use 112 kilograms nitrogen per hectare, unfertilized bahia grass pastures, and the mixture of the bahia grass with rhizoma peanut mixture. We repeat the treatments three times, and this year in January, with overseeding these bahia grass and peanut pastures with cool season grasses. So we have two treatments of the cool season grass with nitrogen, and the mix of the cool season grass that was rye and oat, with a mixture of clovers, that was the bold and crimson clover. The herbal smash was measured every 14 days using the disc, the metallic disc, I don't know, here. And we used 30 points per paddock. And in the pastures with a mixture with bahia grass and rhizoma peanut, we took 30 and 30 points in each one. We used the double sampling method to calibrate the equation for the grass and the legume, and we did that every 28 days with this height, and we harvest the samples. Also, when we measured the herbage mass, we took every 14 days hand-plucked samples from the grass separate from the rhizoma peanut, and those samples were dried at 55 degrees for 72 hours, grad at 2 millimeters, and bol mill, for later to determine crude protein and the delta of carbon 13. The cattle weight was doing every 21 days, and they were fasted for 16 hours before the weighing, and fecal samples were collected in the evening prior to the weighing. The blood samples were taken via jugular vein puncture to determine the signal of the blood in the blood of the carbon 13 and to assess forage preference. Data were analyzed separately for year one and year two. We used the mixed procedure SAS with repeated measures and paddock as the experimental unit, and the model included randomized complete block design. So let's talk about the results. Here we have the herbage mass for year one and year two. In the first year, we have significant difference by treatment, by evaluation, and treatment by evaluation interaction. The herbage allowance in this period we keep a little high because it was the first year of establishment of the bahia grass. So this one was 4 kilograms of dry matter per live weight. And the herbage allowance was constant between the treatments and we have variation between between evaluations. In the second year, we have. In the second year, the herbage mass, we have a significant difference by treatment and by evaluation. Here, our herbage allowance was keeping between 1.5 and 2 kilograms of dry matter per live weight. We keep the herbage allowance, and I forgot to mention that in every paddock we have two steers in continuous grazing, and we can, to equilibrate the herbage allowance, we use put and take animals for the two seasons. Here we have the average daily gain. As I mentioned before, we evaluate separately the year one of the year two. In year one, we have difference where the rhizoma peanut shows the best, the greatest value compared with the Bahia grass treatment. In year two, we didn't have significant difference. We observe a greatest value in year two, but maybe because in year one we use weaning animals and they start grazing in the middle of the hot summer of Florida. In year two, we use yearly steers. And they were grazing before, so. Here we observe the average daily gain, the difference between evaluations, with the highest peak between July and August, where the herbage mass also shows the greatest point. And in the end of the period, we observe that the average daily gain is decreasing according with the decline of the the quality of the pasture and the growth of the pasture. The stocking rate for year one was for evaluating 84 days, and we didn't have any significant difference in between treatments. But the stocking rate was around 4 steers per paddock during the period of evaluation. And gain per area, no significant difference between the treatments. In year two, we have significant difference in the stocking rate, and in this period or grazing day, or stocking rate was evaluated for 168 days. So in the stocking rate, the best performance was for the fertilizer Bahia grass. Gain per area, we don't have significant difference. The concentration of the crude protein and the hemplock samples were evaluated for year one and year two. In year one, we observed that the greatest concentration was in the Bahia fertilizer Bahia grass, around 18%, and the treatments with rhizoma peanut and Bahia grass show a concentration between the 7 and 8%. Here we observe the concentration of the crude protein just for the rhizoma peanut. And we observe that this one was around 17 to 18% of the concentration. For the year two, we observe a greater value at the beginning of the season, and this maybe could be the effect for the cool season grasses, the mixture of the rye and oat. And again, we observe a peak in the middle of the season, between July and August. Here, the concentration of the rhizoma peanut was higher than the previous year. It was around 18%. And this is the concentration of the crude protein in the rhizoma peanut only for year two. That was around 18%. Here, we have the carbon signature for the in the feces, but just for year one. So we have the signature for the Bahia grass treatments. What is this? And the fertilizer Bahia grass. And we observe a big difference with the rhizoma peanut. So the diet with the mixture of the Bahia grass and perennial peanut showed the lowest value in the signal of the carbon 13. And we compare this one with the feed. Just this is the signal for carbon 13 on the rhizoma peanut, so just the feed. So we can observe here that the animals are having a very high preference for the legume. This analysis was just made for the past, for the mixture treatment. So we observed the carbon 3 in the dung, and we observed that the diet was a preference between 65 to 85% with 1.8 the index of preference. Here we have the sign of the carbon in blood just for year one. And we observe here the short, the long-term effect of the diet with the rhizoma peanut, that is the solid part of the blood, compared with the plasma that we can observe in a short term, the difference in the effect of the diet in the blood. In red blood and in plasma, we observe significant difference between treatment by evaluation. In conclusion, the herbage allowance was similar across treatments in both years, allowing treatment comparisons. The herbage mass was significantly different between evaluations and in treatment by evaluation in year one and in year two. The average daily gain was greater for rhizoma peanut when compared with bahia grass in year one and was similar across treatments in the second year. One established the pasture with bahia grass, with fertilizer bahia grass, they have a greater stocking rate. However, the gain per area was similar for all treatments, and the average was around 29 kilograms lightweight per hectare. The isotopic carbon signature in blood and feces indicate the selection for rhizoma peanut in the treatments when it is available. And the inclusion of rhizoma peanut in bahia grass pastures can be an alternative to maintain productivity while decreasing fertilizer nitrogen inputs in the system. So I would like to thank my advisor, Dr. Dubé, and to the amazing group of students and interns in NFREC. Thank you.
Are there any questions for our speaker?
Yes, Cheryl.
Is there concerns about that preference being so strong for the perennial peanut that you'll wipe out the perennial peanut over time?
Yeah, we're more concerned that we're overgrazing the perennial peanut, but so far we don't have any evidence that the animals could be affected for a diet in high legume. No, the perennial peanut. The perennial peanut doesn't produce any bloat. So I don't know if that responds to your question. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, is that something you're going to look at over time? The composition of the peanuts to the bahia grass, if the peanut starts disappearing or not?
No, the idea that is for reason we keep the herbage allowance always. We always have the two steers for the evaluation, but we use the pur and takes. And of course, every 14 days when we notice that we have good grass or not, we move the animals. So I don't think we are overgrazing in this space.
Any other questions for our speaker? All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.